Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, Bergen County. This is John Enslin at The Record with another edition of Record Talk Radio for this rather cloudy Monday, July 27th. Today we're fortunate to have as our guest Jim Thiebery, the director of the Bergen County Division of Disability Services. Jim has been with the county for 22 years. He's been director of this division since 1999. And the division itself is kind of interesting because it was the first in New Jersey when it was founded back in 1978. Jim, welcome to the program.
Thank you, John. It's good to be on.
Mm-hmm. Jim, as you know, Sunday was the 25th anniversary of the Americans with Disabilities Act, kind of a landmark piece of legislation. Some have compared it to the most significant anti-discrimination law in the country since the Civil Rights Act of 1964. I'm wondering, from your vantage point, where you serve, what do you see as the significance of the act?
I see so much, John. I have to say, when I look at the advancements we've made just in accessible features, your curb cuts, your CapTel telephones, your Braille on elevators, on doorways, it ramps. Everyone used to talk about ramps, but there's so much more than ramps. There's large print in restaurants. There's leagues of athletes with disabilities, various different abilities that the towns mm-hmm. are hosting. And what I really mm-hmm. applaud is when they integrate them into their established teams in town. I think that is really the next step. I think we have to strengthen mm-hmm. that step. And I think that we've made a lot of advances. We've got rear captioning in movie theaters. Mm-hmm. You look back 25 years, and John, you just didn't have it. You didn't have it.
Right.
You didn't have the access. If you had somebody at home who was differently abled or ill or challenged, they stayed home. They stayed home, maybe in the back bedroom, and nobody saw your brother or your sister or your mother, and that had to end.
Mm-hmm. You know, in today's paper, listeners, I have a story in the paper on four individuals, all of whom are old enough, they're in their 60s, to reflect back on that period Jim is referring to of what it was like before the ADA. And they had some interesting stories to tell, which you'll find in the record today. But, Jim, one interesting thing I found in speaking to all four of them, other than observing that they were, maybe it's just the four that I ended up talking to, but they were all very self-reliant individuals insofar as they could be, with disabilities that ranged from, you know, spinal injuries to MS to blindness.
Mm-hmm.
But they were very much self-motivated, and they were saying they thought one of the more significant things, in addition to all the things you've enumerated, like curb cuts and Braille on elevators, was the change in perception of the disabled among, you know, the rest of the population. Would you say that's accurate? I mean, have you seen that yourself?
Absolutely, absolutely. And your listeners have to know that these are attitudinal barriers. And I think one of your interviewees in the Sunday Record was mentioning that the importance of people with disabilities being their own best advocate, and I think that is gold, because mm-hmm. if they can come to the fore and make change, they can articulate it the best. They can show not only what is a barrier or a deficit in a facility or a program, but they can also offer concrete solutions, which your average person mm-hmm. may or may not be able to do. So I think their being their best advocate is a very important piece. But I think the attitudinal barriers are falling away, and I really see it with the young people today. I've spoken in schools, mm-hmm. both high schools, grammar schools, and when I ask the class, and this is how I open it, how many people here have a disability or know somebody has a disability, every hand is in the air.
Mm-hmm.
So that says a lot to me, and then when I go around the room and ask them, to elaborate a little bit more, tell me a little bit more, depending upon, of course, their age level and their grade. They're quite articulate about grandma has vision loss, or my brother has cerebral palsy, and so forth and so on. Also, you see so much more mainstreaming today than you ever did before with students with disabilities in their scooter or on their walker or whatever device that they may use, traversing the hallways in the high school. And so you don't have that non-exposure, if you will, that you had many years ago.
Right.
We had a celebration, which I think you covered in the Saturday Record. We held it on Friday, and we had just a sellout crowd. But more importantly, what we did was, and I thought it was integral, is we showed a film. And the film really gave the early history of the disability movement. And I tell you, in the office today, I had so many emails from people, you know, enjoying the program and so forth and so on, the speakers. But every one of them mentioned the film. They said, I had no idea. I had no idea it was that rough. I had no idea so many people had to pick it and demonstrate to get the rights they have today. So, yes, we've come a long way.
Yeah, the film was quite dramatic, particularly that footage of disabled activists literally crawling up the steps of the U.S. Capitol to make a point to the legislators inside. I love the one particular quote about the guy who was behind this little girl who was just tooling her way up the stairs, and he said, I can't stop now if she keeps going.
John, the little girl said something to the effect of, I'm going to get up there if it takes all day.
Exactly, and she did. No, that was a bit of film.
Thank you. And we worked long and hard on that. That actually was an excerpt from a much longer film, but of course we had limited time. But what I also enjoyed was that one comment by one of the legislators that we inconvenienced them for a few hours with our demonstration. But look at these people and how their whole lives were inconvenienced.
Exactly. Speaking of legislators, your keynote speaker that day was U.S. Senator Bob Menendez, and he had some interesting things to say in his keynote speech. I've got about a minute of it here. Let's play it and then discuss, all right?
Great.
Here we go.
You know, I think about what we're celebrating today, and if you think about the founding documents of this great nation, the essence of it starts with life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Well, you cannot live a full life if you cannot fulfill your God-given potentials. You cannot have liberty if you are trapped in your home. And you cannot have the pursuit of happiness if every single element that any other citizen in America has access to is something that you do not. And so for me, what we celebrate in the 25 years of the Americans with Disabilities Act is a movement by a nation to ultimately fulfill for all of its citizens life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, and ensuring that no American is a second-class citizen in our great country.
Okay, that was Senator Bob Menendez doing the keynote speech at the event that Jim and his division helped organize on Friday. Jim, what do you think of that? I mean, it's interesting that he brought up the Declaration of Independence, and so many of the people that I talked to for the story in today's paper alluded to that they saw this as kind of a founding document for their own independence.
Absolutely true. And, you know, I can't stress it enough. Folks who are differently abled, those with access and functional needs, they don't want special treatment. They don't want extra special accommodations. We go back to the word equality. They want to be treated equally as any other citizen. So if it's getting into a restaurant, if it's getting a job, they want to be treated on an equal plane, on an equal basis, with equal talent and equal ability. And I think that's what has to be stressed and will be in the future.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of your other speakers at this thing Friday was Elaine Katz from the Kessler Foundation, and she described several of the innovative programs that they are funding to try to help create jobs for the disabled, such as a partnership with PepsiCo, where I believe PepsiCo put up $1 million in matching grant money and pledged to hire 2,000 disabled people over the next 5 years. But one thing that Elaine also said that stuck with me was the fact that in the 25 years span of this Americans with Disabilities Act, that employment hasn't changed that much for the disabled. I was wondering, why do you think that is?
Well, I think there's a number of factors. Although Elaine did say it is improving, the numbers are still quite skewed, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
You have many who are afraid of losing maybe some benefits that they've had for quite a while, and they want to re-enter mm-hmm. the workforce. But of course, they have Work First New Jersey. They have workability programs today where you can still earn a substantial salary, around $55,000, and still hold on to your medical benefits through Social Security, mm-hmm. disability. So those are inroads that weren't always there. The other piece is still, I think, from employers, a fear of accommodation, mm-hmm. a fear of, it comes down to money, doesn't it, sometimes,
mm-hmm.
and what's going to cost for accommodations. Most reasonable accommodations are almost next to nothing, and especially if you can be creative, whether it's the height of a desk, whether it's just removing the wheels of a tripod, whatever the case may be, it won't
mm-hmm.
involve, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars to employ this person. And again, nobody who is differently abled wants any kind of handout. They're not looking for pity at all. What they're looking for
mm-hmm.
is, again, I said it earlier, is equality, an equal shot at that job, and show that I can do it.
Mm-hmm. You know, I asked Senator Menendez after his talk about the same topic of employment, and let's just listen in on what he had to say.
Mm-hmm.
For the disabled.
Well, in the first instance, the ADA Act was about creating the freedom for individuals to both live outside of their home, not live in an institutional setting, to be able to move more freely, to unlock a series of potentials for them to fulfill their God-given potential. Now, I can tell you that the ADA's focus was employment, but it expected it to be a byproduct of that.
Sure.
Now, to the extent that there are still challenges to employment for people with disabilities, who now can move more freely and have greater accessibility and greater mobility, then the question becomes, well, what is the barriers? And that's why I was listening. I stayed for the lady from Kessler to hear some of the elements, and we'd like to delve into that, because it's no law is ever going to be so sweeping that it will meet all the problems and all the challenges. And that's why we are constantly perfecting it. So if there are challenges above and beyond those elements that were dealt with by the ADA, we need to know it and think about from a governmental perspective, and that doesn't mean that the government is the one to do everything, but in this case, is there some governmental initiatives that can help people with disabilities gain employment? And are those things that we can engage the private sector, as she seemed to reference certain private sector
right.
entities, that would open up more doors for people with disabilities? So that's.
Well, Jim, what do you think of that idea? I mean, the fact that, you know, the ADA was not specifically designed to generate employment. It was designed to create liberty and equality for the disabled. But that there might be a role for government still in working on the employment part of the problem. What do you think of that?
Well, I think they have in a sense taken somewhat of a lead on this. There's I did a lecture in Manhattan and down in South Jersey last year, along with Kathy Walsh from the ARC, and it
mm-hmm.
was called the 7% Solution. And what this is the federal government has required that you have 7% of your workforce with people with disabilities. And if you do not, and you cannot document that you do, then you will lose federal contracts. Now, I think that's a bit of putting your money where your mouth is. Mm-hmm. And I think, again, when the senator, and he was so eloquent, when he was mentioning about the ADA and barriers coming down, and I remember in the movie that we showed, we had the first President Bush, say, let these walls of barriers come tumbling down. And he was absolutely right. What we needed from the ADA was access to the interview room, access to the interviewer, access to human services, which before we couldn't even get in the door. So mm-hmm. I think what we also have done in the past, I want to say it's in its third edition, is we compiled a book called It's All About Work, a guide for employers to talented individuals to hire, which really showed them the pros of hiring people with disabilities, not only from a tax advantage, the low cost of accommodations, but what we highlighted here and we documented it was the high staying power and the loyalty of people with disabilities to their companies that hire them. Not as thanks for pity, certainly not, but they're diligent workers. They value the job. They value the work that they do. They want to establish their careers. They just needed to get into that desk.
Interesting. You mentioned at the luncheon that one of your projects has been to promote Access for All, which is a program that 20 different municipalities in Bergen County have adopted?
Actually, 25.
25, great.
We
25
have 25
out of 70.
And Sea Caucus and the City of Trenton.
Mm-hmm. Tell us briefly what Access for All is and what it means.
Well, I just totally believe in this concept. Access for All committees should be established, I think, in every town across the nation, in every city across the world. It really is a win-win situation on many levels. First of all, it's comprised of people who live in that community that have various disabilities, or advocates for those with disabilities, along with your council person, perhaps your mayor. You might have an Office of Emergency Management. You might have Recreation Department, certainly a representative from the police department. They can help you in so many ways, this committee. Not only do they know the ebb and flow of the town, they know that the special events the town has, they know the barriers that already exist in the town. They know mm-hmm. of suggestions they can have to alleviate those barriers. And many times it's a creative idea, John. This is where people don't understand. It could be a very low-cost accommodation that has to be mm-hmm. made. What I applaud is some of these towns have just blasted off with this idea. I know my hometown of Ramsey recently had a dance for young people with access and functional needs at the high school, and it followed mm-hmm. the prom. So the whole gymnasium was decorated like a Candyland and
oh,
a
great.
Money board and games and full food donated by all the restaurants in Ramsey, and the DJ mm-hmm. volunteered their time. It cost nothing. And the kids
wow.
just had such a good time with the lights flashing and whatnot. Ridgewood did the same thing. I believe it was Friday night. At the Park West Tavern in Ridgewood, very similar effort they did last year at the one of the old banks along the main street in town. Totally transformed it. Red carpet outside, red ropes, and it was a day for them to shine. Others mm-hmm. have done a day at the movies if they have a cinema in town, strictly for those on the autism spectrum. So if, mm-hmm. if there's any special needs they have during the performance, do they need a break for a quiet room, that can be done and accommodated without any muss or fuss. So, I mean, and what I also look to is the future. I look to regionalizing. Let's just say Ramsey, Mahwah, and Wyckoff. Wyckoff and Ramsey are already on board. We're trying to get Mahwah. So let's say that they each need a playground that's accessible. Well, then why not join forces, hire a contractor, get a good rate for a three-job site, and I think that you can not only save money, but I think this is the wave of the future.
Mm-hmm. All right. Jim, one final question then today.
Sure.
What do you see as the we talked about some of the gains over the last 25 years. What do you see as the important areas of the work ahead?
Well, I think, as I said earlier, that we're we're out on the field, we're running the ball, but I don't think we've made a touchdown, or the final touchdown, certainly. You just recently, they recently had a first ever disability pride parade in Manhattan up Fifth Avenue, never happened before. I talked to the organizers, I was pleased to represent New Jersey, and then met the mayor and so forth. But what even the marchers who were rolling up Fifth Avenue were commenting on is that many of the subway stops along the way were totally inaccessible. There were no elevators within the facility for them to get to the main avenue. So that's an issue. We've already stated and discussed employment. That has to improve. The accessibility in the towns, yes, you have curb cuts, some better than others. You have a lot more accessible swimming facilities with ramps and Hoyer lifts, and of course that's the law. But we still have a way to go. I think we've done a marvelous job so far, coming away from the early 80s and 70s when there was next to nothing. But I think we still have to play the game, and we still have to go forward.
All right. Well, Jim, thanks for being our guest today on Record Talk Radio.
My pleasure. Thank you.
All right. Well, folks, stay tuned to NorthJersey.com and the Record for all your Bergen County news, and we'll be back on the air fairly soon. Till then.